So it's time for the third cycle now. We've studied the first two. So we know what the cycle, what the periods and categories are, the 17. And we know now basically what goes in each one of them. Now, for example, if I mentioned David, what period would he go into? United Kingdom. What if I mentioned Samson?
Judges.
If I mentioned Cain? Before the flood. Noah? The flood. Yeah, that's right. What about Isaac? Patriarchs. All right, that's good. All right. Now then, let's open your Bibles. Get your Bible open, because we're going to really work on the Bible tonight. Because, see, the third cycle is where everything is. So let's start out with that first period. Now, see, you remind me, what is the first period? Now then, that's going to be, what kind of stories would be in that? What kind of stories would be in before the flood?
Creation.
The creation. Now, where are you going to find the creation? Where?
Genesis.
What part of Genesis? The very beginning. One. All right, so see, we know where to begin. So start with Genesis 1. All right, look in Genesis 1. Now, you see, as you look at Genesis 1, we got the creation and Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, what chapter is that? Adam and Eve in the garden. The first sin. What about Cain and Abel? You see that? You see it? Megan, do you see that in 4? 5, the generations. Now, with that, with 1 through 5, after that now, what's the next period that we're going to go into?
The flood.
The flood. So since 5 is the end of that first one, then the flood's going to begin in what chapter?
6.
You see, it's going to be in 6. All right, so we got 1 through 5, chapters 1 through 5, that's before the flood. So just, register that. That's the first 5 chapters, that's before the flood. And it's the creation and Adam and Eve in the garden, and the first sin, and Cain and Abel, and the generations. All right, then in the flood, does the flood itself begin in 6? So 6 is telling us about what? About the warning and the evil, the warning and preparation for the flood and things like that. So, yeah, instructions about building the ark and everything about the flood coming and see things like that. Now the flood begins, look in the next chapter, look in 7. You see the flood begins. Now look at the end of 7. Does the flood end at the end of chapter 7? See that? You can see your own eyes that no, it doesn't end by the end of chapter 7. So it goes on into 8. So at 8, we have the end of the flood. And then look in 9. Now, as you look in 9, what are the first things mentioned? Okay, start out. What's the first thing you see about chapter 9? All right, they're going to go out and multiply. Okay, continue. What else? Continue looking there in your chapter. All right, all right. Right. What is there at the beginning, pretty well the beginning of the chapter, about their food? What can they eat? What change is made? They can eat meat. But when they eat meat, they're to avoid eating what?
The blood.
The blood. And although they may kill animals freely, what are they not to kill?
Each other.
That's right. And if they kill each other, then what's to be done by the one that does the killing, the murderer? He's to be put to death. Law of capital punishment. So we have the meat for food, the law of capital punishment, and then the covenant that Kathleen mentioned. And the covenant involved what symbol or phenomenon of nature? A rainbow. And so we can call it the rainbow covenant. So, you know, you could say meat for food, capital punishment, the rainbow covenant, and then the last story in the chapter is the sin that Noah gets involved in with drunkenness, but the emphasis is upon what is considered the greater sin of disrespect by Ham and the curse upon Canaan. So that's chapter 9, events immediately after the flood. And then 10, look at 10. What's in 10? These are the generations of whom? Of Noah, that's right. So now we have the first five chapters as before the flood, and then the next five chapters, the flood. So you could say, well, that's easy, 5, 10, 15, except no, we can't go past 10. So 5, 10 are both generation chapters. See that? As a matter of fact, the last part of 11 is a generation chapter also, although the event we have been really remembering in chapter 11 is the Babel, the Tower of Babel, the scattering of the people. All right, now think about this carefully. Anything about the preparation of the ark, or the ark, or Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that's going to be found in what period? That's the flood. Now, what chapters would we go to read about any of these things? Which ones? 6 through 10. 6 through 10. That's right. You're close there, Steve. You'd be close enough. Yeah. Right. Right. Now that's okay, but 6 through 10, 1 through 5, 6 through 10. Now you see, if you were just at your own house, your own study, or something like that, and you thought, now let me see, I need to read about the first sin. You know about where to go to read it. Where would you go to read about the first sin? Yeah, that's right. So what chapter would it be? 3, that's right, 3. The creation, Kathleen, see, the creation would be 1. Okay, but you're still close. All right, so we've got the before the flood, and that's in Genesis 1 through 5. Then the flood, we have 6 through 10. And then we have the Tower of Babel, or the scattering of the people. And so that's chapter 11, correct? All right. You know what the next chapter is? Well, of course, what comes after 11? 12. Now, when we studied about the patriarchal age, what chapters in the Bible are devoted to the patriarchal age? Genesis 12 through 50. Remember that? Well, we're going to work on that, because now then, look at 12, and what does 12 start off with? What story does chapter 12 start off with? What patriarch? That's right. Now, see, you remember who the three patriarchs are: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the linking story of Joseph. So we start out with the three patriarchs: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that means Abraham comes first. So guess what 12 is going to be about? Not going to be about Jacob. It's going to be about Abraham. It starts with an A. We start with Abraham. That's chapter 12. Now, when you study about somebody's life, it's nice to be able to study about birth to death, but you don't always have the information about the birth or the death. So you start with what is given, and the thing that started out about Abraham is the call of Abraham. When you're starting with someone and you're going to tell their life, you start with the birth, end with the death. But with Abraham, we don't meet him until he's 75. Mm-hmm. And we meet him when God first makes the promises to him. And so that's what we have about him. And so where is it where would it be good to end the story? With Abraham's death. So where do you start from? You start from 12. Now what are we looking for? Abraham's death. So we start out in 12. Now then look in 13, 14. You're not trying to memorize everything in every chapter. You're just looking. Is 14 still about Abraham? What about 15? See, take the time to look. 16 and 17 and 18. Who's 18 about? Abraham still cooking. 19. See, just keep going like that. What are you looking for? Abraham's death. So we look in 23. Let's go ahead and look in 23. Is Abraham dead? No. Right. So 24. Does Abraham die in 24? So what were you saying? All right, that's in 24. So where do you find the death of Abraham? 25. So that would mean that the chapters involved in Genesis devoted to Abraham are 12 to 25. Now we would say through, except Abraham doesn't live all the way through chapter 25. He dies in that first part of 25. So we would say 12 to 25. That's Abraham. Abraham. 12 to 25. See, we're dividing that 12 through 50. We're dividing it up. We're going to be dividing it up among Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the story of Joseph. So with Abraham, the first of these four people, the first is 12 to 25. Okay? Now then, as you look in the rest of 25, what is the rest of 25 telling us about? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then about, it's telling us about Isaac and the birth of his sons Jacob and Esau. And the story goes right on with Isaac then in 26. You see? Now, we could say, well, now we can start out with Isaac. We know when he was born, we do have the record of his birth. So since he was born in chapter 21, we could say, let's see, he dies at the close of 35. We could say, okay, so Isaac's life is chapters 21 through 35, and Abraham is 12 to 25. Now that's confusing to me. It's really confusing to me, and I think it's confusing to anybody. Therefore, instead of trying to divide the scriptures up here according to the from birth to death, I think that it is far better for us to divide it into the sections where this person is the main character. See, so you start out with the first person, Abraham. Abraham starts out as the main character from 12 to 25. And then Isaac is the main character because Abraham is dead. So Isaac is the main character then on through the rest of 25, 26. Now look in 27 and see what's going on. Huh? Okay, and this is Jacob deceiving his father Isaac, right? See, this is when Esau is supposed to come in and get the blessing, but Jacob deceives him and everything. So even though Esau and Jacob are involved in this story, Isaac is the main one. He's the father that's going to give the blessings. He's the one that Jacob comes in and deceives and all of that kind of thing. So, but look in 28. Look in 28 and see what 28 is telling about. What is 28 telling about? Is this Jacob? All right, so see, the story in 28 turns from Isaac to go after Jacob. So think about this now, that means that the story of Isaac is found from 25 through 27. You see that, Lana? So you have Abraham, 12 to 25. Then 25 through 27 is Isaac. And then we start in 28 with Jacob. So the first thing you'd say is, there wasn't near as much space devoted there to Isaac, correct? Even though Isaac was born back in chapter 21. But we don't have, he's not the main character in those chapters. He gets here to 25, he's going to be the main character then through 27. It's really interesting how much was left out in the text of the lives of these people. A great deal was left out because it was not important to the divine purpose for all that to be there. All right, now look, what was the last chapter in which Abraham was alive? 25. So what was the last chapter where Isaac was the main character?
27.
It's 27. That's right. Very good. Now, we need to drill on that so that you're comfortable with that idea. So Abraham, 12 to 25, Isaac, 25 through 27, and then we start off with Jacob. And we won't go with Jacob, we won't go to his death. Will go while he's the main character, because he won't die until the very end of Genesis. But he won't be the main character for the most of the rest of the chapters. All right, so look in your Bible now at 28, and I think we've already said what 28 is telling about. So what's it telling about?
Jacob being sent away.
Jacob being sent away, he goes and meets and marries his wives and things like that. So look in 29 and 30 and go on just kind of looking through the chapters there as he's living up at Padan Aram and working for Laban and accumulating his family and everything like that. So you turn on over to 32 and 33. Now, what are you seeing in 33, chapter 33? What are you seeing there? What's happening? You can look in your chapter in your Bible and look and see what's happening in 33.
He comes back and stands before Esau, meets Esau once again.
Okay. So he's going to meet Esau, and as he's on his way back, 34. Chapter 34, turn and look at that one. That concerns what happens to a sister, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, the daughter. Yeah, Dinah. Now, she's Jacob's daughter. Yeah. What did I say? Sister? Okay, all right. All right, so look in 35 now, chapter 35, what do we have? Mm-hmm. What else?
The naming of the sons of Israel.
All right. Where does he get to in 35, the close of 35? Comes back to Isaac. Mm-hmm. See, Isaac is still alive. He comes back to Isaac. Now look in 36. What's 36 about? So that's a very different subject, isn't it? Look in 37. Is that about Jacob? It's mainly about Joseph. This is where the story shifts to Joseph. So see, this is what we know now. The story where Jacob is the main character is 28 through 35. See? Because the very next chapter, 36, is Esau. And then 37 through 50 is Joseph. So You just have to shift that around in your brain, think it over now. 12 to 25 is Abraham. 25 through 27 is Isaac. 28 through 35 is Jacob. 36 is the one chapter devoted to the genealogy of Esau. The reason the Bible doesn't give that any more attention than it does is because Esau is not going to be the character through whom Jesus comes. So it just kind of gives enough information to put that one in the file and we're through with it. The Bible is through with that. That genealogy is not going to really matter. And then we start with 37 through 50, the story of Joseph. Now then, think about that very carefully. If you're going to go and look at the patriarchs, what chapters in Genesis, the whole thing, the patriarchs, that's going to be chapters what? That's right, 12 through 50. That's good, Lana. 12 through 50. If you're going to look at the scattering of the people, what chapter is that going to be? 11. What about before the flood? That's all right. You're doing it. 1 through 5. That's right. 1 through 5. Suppose I wanted to go and read particularly where Isaac is the main character. Where would that be? 25 through 27. Very good. Very good. Now, where Abraham is the main character? 12 through 2 to 25. And then the story of Joseph. 37 through 50. All right. Now, see, you're getting hold of it. You're getting hold of it. And by now, you see how it seems piece of cake to know the periods. That's back there with a lot more stuff now, riveting it down. And we know basically what goes in that. And now we know where it is. And so four of the periods we've nailed down now, knowing where it is in the Bible. Now what you need to do is to review this material in your own mind until it is fixed there. Now the book would come in handy here to use just to review. But always remember that when you are reading a book trying to learn it, you're reading any written material trying to learn it, a lot of times, if all you do is stare at the words, you're not getting it down in your mind. So you have to be sure you're getting it down in your mind, and one of the best ways to do that is to put your stuff away and write it out. You write it out. And so when you write it out, and you can do it as simply or as complicated as you want to, because you will say, I know what I'm talking about here. So you could say, A, I, and J, 12 to 25, 25 through 27, 28 through 35. And you can say, yeah, okay, I got that. Then go back and check it. Yeah, I got that. Drill and make sure that you have that in your mind. So now, you know, remember that early we talked about the outline of Genesis? Well, Donald, do you see how complex an outline of Genesis you now could do from memory? You know, with little work, just to make sure you've got it, you could do a pretty complex outline of the book of Genesis, four periods of Bible history, which means that you know where the basic things are. If you're talking with somebody about the Adam and Eve in the garden before the first sin, well, you can immediately say, you could say things like, well, I know the first sin's in 3, so it's going to be in 1 or 2. Or you may remember and you may say, that's in 2. So the creation's in 1, and Adam and Eve in the garden in 2, and the first sin is 3. And Cain and Abel are in 4. So the generations of Adam are in 5. So where does the flood begin? Now, the period begins in 6, but where does the flood itself begin? 7, that's right. What about the question of eating blood? Where would you go to read about the question of eating blood in Genesis? Chapter 9, the events immediately after the flood, when God says you may now eat flesh in addition to the herb. So you keep on like that. Okay, what about the rainbow? The rainbow, the significance of the rainbow, where do we read about that? That's in 9 also. That's in 9 also. Did you get that, Kathleen? Okay, all right, good, good. All right. Well, now we're going to review some more, but let's go ahead now and let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead and look at some more now. Well, since the story of Joseph takes us all the way through 50. Now, Megan, help me out. What period comes after the patriarchs? Just say them in your mind. Before the flood, the flood. Now, hey, look at me. Before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarchs, Exodus. See, there you are. There you are. There you are. Very good. See, I want to get you where you can say it and not have to look. You know, we all, I think, are so welded to having not trusting ourselves, that we just can't get separated from that written down there. Well, let's work to be sure that we can say it, that we know it. So the Exodus. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Is that what you were doing, Megan? You were saying it on your fingers? That's fine. That's fine. That's great. It really is. So where are we going to begin the period of the Exodus? What book are we going to begin that? The book of Exodus, chapter 1. Now, see here, remember what ends the period of the Exodus. Remember we talked about what is it that brings the period of the Exodus to a close and transitions us into the next period? What is the event? All right, they come out of Egypt, and they complain again and again and again. What particular event? I'm letting you search for it, and remember in your mind, what is the... Yeah, it causes them, and so what?
They wanted to go back to Egypt.
Yeah, and like you said, then they were sentenced to wander. So remember the event that caused them to have to wander. It has to do with 12. The 12 spies. Remember the 12 spies sent up in Canaan, and they come back with that unfavorable report. And then like Lisa said, then the people are ready to go back to Egypt and everything. So what we're looking for now is that story. So let's go through Exodus now, just turning our pages as we go through the book of Exodus. Let's turn them pretty fast and get to the end of Exodus, and let's see where we are. By the end of the book of Exodus, where are we? What are they doing in Exodus 40? They're setting up the tabernacle. Well, they built the tabernacle at Mount Sinai. So they're setting up the tabernacle there at Mount Sinai. So see, they're still there. They're still at Mount Sinai. They've gotten out of Egypt. They've gotten to Mount Sinai. So what's the next book?
Leviticus.
So let's turn to the end of Leviticus and see where we are at that point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what does it say right there at the end of Leviticus about where they are? They're still at Mount Sinai. So see, okay, so Exodus, Leviticus, and so we go into Numbers. So as we go into Numbers, as you look at the first chapter or two, by the way, do you have any idea why it's called Numbers? Because it's giving numbers. That's why. Look at what they do at the first couple of chapters. In fact, several chapters through there. They're taking a census. That's right. They're taking a census. Now, this is the census being taken at Mount Sinai. So they take the census, a number of other things that they do, important things they do. Now, turn on over to like Numbers 10 and look for something to indicate they're leaving Mount Sinai. Okay, all right. So now then notice very slowly and carefully as we turn on over to 11. And you see they're moving along, traveling, things are happening to Israel. And then 12, look at what's going on there. This is a story of Miriam and Aaron and Moses and the difficulty between them. And so then you come to 13. What does 13 tell you about? Now, how are you going to remember Numbers 13 as being where the spies are sent out? Maybe we could use 13. Yeah, the unlucky number, 13. That's where the spies were sent out. The 12 spies. That's right. That's right. And you know, Lana, it's amazing. What you use to remember may not be logical at all. But if it really, you know, once you say, now that's interesting, then it'll tend to stick. So I've used things like that to me. And to me, it's very interesting to have 12 spies in chapter 13. You know, numbers like that, that kind of interest me. And so maybe that will help you to remember that. So Numbers 13. All right, now then, what books are telling us about the period of the Exodus? Exodus, Leviticus, and through 13. That's right. Now there you are. Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers 1 through 13. That tells you about the events in the Exodus. And you've also learned that they don't leave Mount Sinai until about Numbers 10. So you're already, you know, most of that stuff, Exodus and Leviticus and the first several chapters of Numbers, that all is at Mount Sinai.
But that's only 1 year.
That's right.
Genesis covers hundreds and thousands of years. But from Exodus 1 to Numbers 13, well, to Exodus 1 to Numbers 10,
yeah, in other words, it's from the time of the plagues, or approximately from the plagues. Right, right.
Because it tells about Moses' birth and then the first 8 years, but it just tells that in verses.
See, here's the thing. Do you remember that they observed the Passover in Egypt when the death angel went out over the land and destroyed the firstborn? Well, see, at Mount Sinai, a year later, they observed the Passover again. And then they had, now see, that would have been in the first month of their year, so that would have been a year later. Then in the second month, they observed a substitute Passover, and then they left. So, you know, that illustrates what Sandra's saying there, that they were there just about, in fact, they got to Mount Sinai in the third month. So from the time they left Egypt until the time they left Mount Sinai was barely over a year. Sure was. Well, now, what's the next, Leah, what is the next period of history following the Exodus? The wandering in the wilderness. All right. The wandering in the wilderness. So, does anyone care to guess where it starts? Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Now what we're looking for is, remember we talked about the fact that it wasn't just the crossing of the Jordan when they got to Israel or Canaan. That was not what we said. That marks the end of the wandering. We also talked about their circumcising the men that had not been circumcised during the years of wandering as a sign of the disfavor of God. They observed the Passover again. Now, see, that was the 41st Passover, 40 years later than when they got into the land. They ate the produce of the land. The manna stopped. So we're looking for when they crossed over the Jordan, and it'll be sometime after that. So now then, let's just look through the end of Numbers. Let's go on and just turn through Numbers and look at what's going on. And listen, before you turn too fast, remember I told you before, I said like Numbers 15 is the laws about the drink offerings and the meal offerings, so it's law. And then remember 16 and 17 was about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and the earth opening up, and Aaron's rod that budded, and so on. And then 18 and 19 is more laws. Come to 20, and there we get into more of the history. And so 22 through 24, chapters 22 through 24, this is Balaam, story of Balaam and his donkey. So we come on through Numbers. Let's go clear on through the end of Numbers. And then what?
This section, you have to kind of hunt for your history.
Mm-hmm.
The law has been given this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do more hunting for your history.
Right.
It's in there.
Right.
That's what the fascinating story. So
that's right.
A little bit more hunting.
That's right. That's right. But see, if you remember that, then you will be prepared for that. And before we get through with this, you'll come nearer being able to do that. But yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm.
Find your history. That would really be
mm-hmm.
good to kind of find your story.
That's right.
Because people say, oh, well, that's such a tedious period to study. Well, if you get your law right in the middle of getting your history, then you lose sight of your history. So there are different ways to study the people.
But yeah, you have to do that, and don't get hung up and say, oh, I've got to study chapter 15. No, if you're trying to study the history of the period, then all you're going to do is confuse the people by taking time now to study chapter 15. So look on past that and say, oh yeah, now here's that story about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then when you find it, read it carefully, get the details down so you'll be able to tell it in class, teach it in class. Well, now what's the next book that comes after Numbers now? This is Deuteronomy. Now look at the very beginning of Deuteronomy and see where they are. Okay. So are they, but have they entered it yet? Where are they? Does it give a location anywhere? Yeah, that's right. They're on the east side of the Jordan. Now Moses is going to preach to them in this book of Deuteronomy. So let's go through the book of Deuteronomy now, coming to the close of the book of Deuteronomy, and let's see what's going on there by the close of Deuteronomy. Say in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, what is going on? Huh?
Moses dies.
Moses dies. See, 34. Now, you know who's going to take his place? Yes, Joshua. So, as you start in chapter 1 of Joshua, Joshua is the man in charge now. So, what are we looking for? Well, let's look for the crossing of the Jordan. Where is that? Chapter what? He's ordered them, but that's not where they do it. See, so read on a little further. Look on a little further about where they actually cross the Jordan. 3:3. Mm-hmm. Chapter 4, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
What does Joshua tell the men to do?
Stone.
Get the stone, each man, one man from each tribe. They're going to take these stones. What are they going to do with them? They're going to stack them up as a memorial, so that when father comes along there with his son will ask him what, Donald?
What are those stones represent?
Yeah, what is this stack of stones for? And what is the father to tell his son?
The history and what they represent.
That's right, about the crossing of the Jordan, things like that. Now look in 5 and see what's going on.
Circumcising the men.
Do you see these are the things that truly mark the end of the wandering in the wilderness? All the things that I mentioned about the Passover and the circumcision and the eating of the... Okay.
Exactly 40 years.
Right. And so these things and the ceasing of the manna, see how significant that was? That was a thing that God had given during the wandering to sustain them. Now they're in the land. The manna stops because they now have access to the blessings of the food that's in the land. So you remember, Kathleen, I don't know, do you remember my making the point that during the wilderness they had the manna, which was a miraculous blessing for food. But when they got into the land, they had the food that grew in the land. Even though that wasn't a miraculous blessing, it was still a blessing from God. So when they had one blessing that they could be sustained by, then the miraculous blessing stopped. That was interesting, the way that happened. All right, so now then, that means that the wandering in the wilderness is Numbers 14 through Joshua 5. Yeah, include 5 because that's where the events are that mark the end. But that's good. Lana, I'm really pleased to see you doing that. You're doing well. You really are. Numbers 14 through Joshua 5. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Numbers 14 through Joshua 5, with the book of Deuteronomy, sermons. All right, look, what is the next period now? Anybody? Invasion and conquest. All right. So this one's going to take us from 6, Joshua 6, through the rest of the book of Joshua. All right, so that one's pretty easy. Joshua 6 through the end of the book. And so during that time, remember that they have the central campaign, the southern campaign, the northern campaign. They distribute the land. The Transjordanic tribes go back home, and you get to the end of it, and you have the speeches of Joshua. And in a way, in those speeches at the end, Joshua was doing what Moses was trying to do in Deuteronomy. He was just challenging the people to be faithful and so on, and then he dies, and so that one's pretty simple. Don't you agree, Leah, that the invasion conquest is Joshua 6 through the end of the book? That's just that one book. So that's pretty simple. Scattering the people was pretty simple, one chapter. So that one's pretty simple. Now the next period is called what? The Judges. So guess what? It's going to start with Judges. Now, that's very easy. Joshua, Judges. All right, now then, let's go ahead and turn to Ruth. Let's turn to the book of Ruth now, following Judges. Because we know the whole book of Judges is devoted to the period of the Judges. So let's turn to Ruth. And when you get to Ruth, read verse 1.
Came about in the days when the judges governed, that there was a famine in the land.
In the days. So? Do you see? So the period of the judges is not only the book of Judges, but also the book of Ruth. And who was the last judge? Samuel. So look on past Ruth and see what 1 Samuel is starting out with. The visit of a man named Elkanah and his wives Hannah and Peninnah, and during the time they're there, beginning about verse 10 or so, what is Hannah doing?
Weeping and stuff. Inability to have a child.
And so what does she pray for, Don?
She prays for a son.
That's right. So she prays for a son, and guess who the son is?
Samuel.
So you see, the judges, including Samuel, is taking us the book of Judges, the book of Ruth, and into 1 Samuel. Now, as we turn through 1 Samuel, looking for things there, it's an arbitrary thing. So let me talk to you about this just a moment. When you make an outline, it's an arbitrary thing. And when I want to mark the end of the Judges, then I can argue different ways to make the end, to mark the end. Yes? What does what? Arbitrary means just because I want to do it that way. Okay? Just because I want to do it that way. That's a good question. Is my definition pretty good? Okay. Just because I want to do it. That's right. Okay? That's right. Now, let me show you some things to think about here. All right. Now, look at 1 Samuel 7. Look at 1 Samuel 7. Particularly look at the last few verses of 1 Samuel 7. Well, Sandra, what are the last few verses of 1 Samuel talking about?
Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and it tells about the circuit that he took
up to. Everybody see that? So that last little passage there summarizes the work of Samuel over a long period of time. We don't have any details. Now look in chapter 8 at what happens. What do the people come? Lisa, what do the people do? Did you see it?
They want a king.
They come and ask him for a king. Now then, do you remember, you know, what period is this the prelude to? Lana, you know, don't you?
United.
See, the United Kingdom. So we could say, okay, the United Kingdom begins in chapter 8 because that's where the people ask for a king. Well, okay. But we don't meet any king at all in 8. In 9, look at what we do. In 9, what do we have? Whom do we meet in chapter 9? We meet Saul, who's going to be the first king. And if you'll look at the very beginning of chapter 10, what does Samuel do to Saul at the very beginning of chapter 10? He anoints him as king. Now, do you see how you could argue with logic to say, well, the United Kingdom would begin at the beginning of chapter 10 since that's when the king was anointed? And I'll tell you all what. The fact is, all this stuff about outlining, It's just to help you until you really know it. Because after you know it, then the fact is that one time I may argue it's 8. The other time I may say 9. And yeah, exactly. I don't even remember. I don't even remember which way it is. Right, so
because
that's right. Well, the thing is that you take the close of chapter 7, this is just an ongoing long-term life, pretty well uninterrupted, until you get to 8. So I can see, you know, in my mind, I can see a good reason for making the division between 7 and 8, because 8 is the prelude to this new period, this change, a time of transition and everything like that. So the fact is, though, if I tell you all that we're going to say 8, then the next time we study it together, I might very well say another chapter, because that time another one would hit me, you know. So you'll just have to know that when I say that, it's this time I'm thinking about it from this angle, and this time I'm thinking about it from another angle. But the thing is, if you know what 8, 9, and 10 all are, then it doesn't matter that much where you divide it in there. You know, when you're talking about things like that, you're thinking about the benefit of other people. You're not thinking about the benefit for yourself. It's a matter of how do I teach this, see? So it's not a matter of how do I understand it. It's a matter of how do I teach this to other people. So you structure it in a way to help them to grasp it, understand it.
If you can get, to find it yourself, if you can get as close as 8, 9, or 10.
Right, right. Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, and see, for your own purposes, I encourage you to go ahead and say, now it makes more sense to me to say it begins in 10. That's just fine. Right, right, right. And so that's a very sound reason for saying it begins then. So I just want you to know that it may appeal to me one time, one way one time, and another time the other time. And so that's just fine. The thing is, when you make an organization have a logical reason or pattern so that it can be remembered and can help other people to remember it. All right, so this period of the judges, we could just say at this point that through 1 Samuel 7, because 8 is going to begin the transition into the United Kingdom. So that would be the period of the judges. But you know, if you take each one of those periods we've studied tonight, now there's a lot more in there. When you name that period, there's a lot more in that period for you to remember now that you know now that you didn't know.
Yeah, but now we're going to get more boxes.
And, so more file folders to go in each box.